go back to the crowdfunding thing, because okay, I think one thing I don't really hear a lot of people talking about, and that's always one of my biggest challenges anytime I think about creating some kind of brand or something like that. I'm always like, okay, so where does money about to come from?
Yeah,
I never really think about crowdfunding. So were you using like a particular platform to do that, or were you just hitting up your family and friends like, hey, give me some money?
No, I did it. It was a very formal process, but it was so interesting. It was so many years in the making. So I worked with an organization called iFundWomen. I love them. I will shout them out, like no sponsorship. Like I will sing their praises to the rooftop. And I met, I forget what her role was at the time, but I met someone who worked for iFundWomen at a conference. Remember Girl Boss?
Welcome to the Friends in Beauty podcast, a safe space for ambitious beauty industry creatives to have real talk, get authentic answers, and practical tools to grow their businesses. Join me every week as me and my special guest reveal the keys to longevity and success in the beauty industry, from the ups and downs of their journey to the nitty-gritty of their struggles and triumphs. We're spilling the tea on it all, and most importantly, having fun while doing it. You ready? Welcome to the Friends and Beauty Podcast, Nexus.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
I'm so excited to have you because, y'all, Nexus is the CEO of 25th and June, which is a vegan-friendly, clean beauty brand that offers premium nail elixirs, UV, and LED gel polish. Did I get that right?
You got that right. Perfect.
I love it. This is the first time I've had somebody on the podcast that like anything nail related.
Oh, okay. And
nails is like something that I absolutely love. I actually just polished my nails just now because I was like, I can't not have on polish. And I'm interviewing. Nexus. Thank you.
Is it like a nail, like a design on the tip?
No, just regular.
Oh, polish. Oh, it looks good. And the length looked like it had a design.
Yeah, I only had time for one coat.
Get it.
But I usually wear press-on nails. Mm-hmm. So I've been giving my nails like a little bit of a break from the press-ons, and they've been growing and everything. But I was like, I can't come on this show today and I have my nails done.
I have to send you some. So next time, it's 25th of June, but we'll get there.
Next time is 25th of June nail polish. Absolutely. So I'm so excited. So before we jump into it, I would love to start off with some icebreakers just to get us warmed up. And so the Friends and Beauty audience can get to know you outside of what you do professionally and for your brand.
Okay.
So the first one, just give us 3 random facts about you.
Oh, wow. 3 random facts?
Yes.
Oh, man. I never have like the fun facts. I always forget. Okay. I've gotten 7 teeth removed at one time.
Wow.
At I'm trying to think of the most random things. I used to do karate for a very long time, and I used to win like sparring competitions when I was like 9.
Okay. Random. So don't mess with Nexus.
You know? 3rd random fun fact. I don't know. These are so hard. I'm thinking of the most random things about myself right now. I don't know why, but I only eat chicken wings with 2 fingers.
Okay.
That's all I have. I need a better list so I can be prepared when these come up.
I love it though. I love the karate bit. Like, yeah. love that. Let's see. What is the most interesting or maybe surprising talent or skill that you have that most people don't know about?
I'm strangely good at mimicking people. Like I can do like an impersonation of people pretty well.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that. I'm not too good at that. I can't do like accents and like.
Oh yeah, I could do most of them. It's weird.
I love that. That's cool. Mm-hmm. Let's see. I have these pod decks here. Like this. So I have these pod decks. Random deck of cards with random questions. This is a what the heck and a would you rather. Which one would you like?
Would you rather.
Would you rather? Yay. Let's see. Let's pick a random card. I hope it's interesting. Let's see. This is funny. Ooh, well, this could be interesting for you. Okay, so would you rather have no eyebrows or an extra finger?
an extra finger. Yeah. I don't think I can pull off the no eyebrow look.
Yeah, I was like, an extra finger. That's just an extra, you know, nail that you can polish with your polish.
Yeah.
And nobody would probably even notice because it's all, you know, jazzed up.
Mm-hmm.
Funny one. What do people always tell you that you're good at aside from what you do professionally?
I've gotten, I'm a really good writer.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah, I think I can write pretty well. Like stories, poetry.
Okay.
Kind of like creative world.
Yeah. When's the last time you wrote a poem?
Wow, it's been years. I've been journaling more. That's always kind of been a struggle for me, but I've been trying and that's been feeling good.
Yeah. Journaling has been a struggle, or poetry?
Yeah, journaling, just like random thoughts. Like for some reason I can write a story or, you know, some idea in my mind, but like the actual, let me get my thoughts out at the beginning or end of the day, I'm always like, oh, I'd rather just lay down.
I struggle with journaling as well, like consistently, like now and then, like I'm like, I should start journaling again. But my best friend, she's like, she journals like every day. And I think it's also this fear of like, okay, when I die, like who's gonna be reading this? They're gonna be doing all my business. Like,
same. I think about that. Like, where am I gonna put these journals? Like, no one can read this.
Yes. I'd be like, okay, I don't know if I, so it's like when I'm journaling, it's like, of course you want to get your thoughts out, but then it's also like, what do I want to share in this journal that somebody's gonna read like later? That's not even supposed to be the purpose of it.
I know, but you're not alone. I've had those thoughts.
Okay, good. When, I love this one. When is the last time that you did something for the first time?
Oh, the last time I did something for the first time. Wow. Actually, maybe the other day. I told you I live in Seattle, and it's very much like a water outside activity place. And I've always wanted to paddleboard. I have a paddleboard because I live in Seattle now. There's this random like deck. It's like a floating deck in the middle of one part of Lake Washington. And you can see it when you do a walk around this park that's near me. And I look at it like every day for months. Like I want to swim to that and just lay out. And so I did that like 2 days ago and it was so nice. It was almost like you're like floating in the middle of the lake. It was really nice.
That sounds really cool. Do people do that a lot? Like, that's what it's for?
Yeah, that's what it's for. But most people like swim or they figure out a way to float over. But yeah, it's so pretty. There's like lily pads and turtles and all these birds. It was like a little oasis just like 10 minutes away from me.
I like that a lot. I wish they had something like that here in DC, but we don't swim in the water here.
I know. It's not the same. Like there's so many lakes here. It's just, it's different.
Yeah, we couldn't do that here. It's not safe.
Yeah.
You see somebody swimming in that water, you know they're not from here. Like, yeah. So the last one, if you weren't the CEO 25th in June, what else could you see yourself doing right now?
Oh, wow. Like a dream job kind of?
Yeah, or any other aspirations or entrepreneurial endeavors you might be thinking about?
I would love to be the person that travels to like different hotels or restaurants to test it out, like around the world. I would love to do that and just give, you know, not even my opinion. You don't even need to hear my opinion, just experience it. Yeah. Like, I would love to do that.
Yeah, that'd be
professional.
Cool.
I don't even know what that would be.
Yeah, like some kind of influencer of some sort.
Yeah, like Anthony Bourdain type situation.
I used to love his show.
Yeah, me too.
Man, I used to really enjoy his show. Wow. Okay, I could see that though. That's something you could totally do.
Yeah.
All you gotta do is just start doing it now. Whenever you travel, like.
True.
And then maybe people will start reaching out because they see you doing it. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. So you said you're from Jersey. Mm-hmm. So you're from the East Coast. What landed you over on in Washington now?
Work 4 years ago. So I moved here 2019. I had about 8 months before the pandemic or 6 months. I don't remember. So it was very interesting. Like I'd never been here before. My first night in Seattle was the first time I was ever in the city. Like I moved here sight unseen, but it's been great, especially business wise. Like it's been a really interesting shift from like New York, New Jersey energy to like a little bit more, I wouldn't say slow pace, but just a very different culture. Like the West Coast vibe is very different. So it's been nice to see how I juggle business in a different way here, mm-hmm. but it's been good. It's been really good.
Yeah. And actually I was just telling you about Charlisa who lives in Washington, but my best friend just told me maybe like last week that her little sister is about to move to Seattle as well. And yeah. I was like, what is happening? Like, what is
it? Yeah, it's like a slept on city. But when you get here, one, it's beautiful. Like everywhere you look is just amazing. Uh-huh. But there's so much to do here. There's so many opportunities. I don't know. It's like a little hidden gem, I think. A lot of people are moving here. And there's just so many. Every company you can think of was started in Seattle randomly.
Okay.
So it's like a big city for work and creativity.
Yeah. Does it really rain a lot there, like they say?
It does, but it's not like the East Coast. Like I've never used an umbrella here. It's kind of like a constant mist and you just get used to it. Like okay. It's weird. But you know, at home, like it downpours, like it's like a torrential downpour. Mm-hmm. I think it's done that maybe 5 times since I lived here.
Okay, that makes sense then. Because one thing people always mention when they mention Seattle. It's like, it rains a lot. Yeah. It's gloomy. Is this, is that.
So. It is, but it's not that bad. You get used to it.
Okay. All right. Are you ready to reach a whole new audience and skyrocket your brand's visibility? Introducing your golden opportunity. You can advertise your product, service, or business here on the Friends and Beauty Podcast. This is the ultimate platform to connect with a vibrant community of beauty enthusiasts, professionals, and trendsetters. Our devoted listeners are passionate about all things beauty, and your message deserves to be heard. Whether you're a makeup brand, a skincare guru, salon owner, or anything in between, this is your chance to captivate a dedicated audience. Imagine your brand's name resonating through earbuds, sparking conversations, and inspiring action. This is your chance to make waves in a sea of possibilities. So don't wait. Step into the spotlight and let your message be heard, okay? Connect with us today at friendsandbeauty.com/advertise to seize your moment on the Friends and Beauty Podcast. Don't worry, I'll leave everything down below for you. And elevate your brand, capture attention, and make an impact. I look forward to sharing your brand with my friends in beauty, okay? So let's go ahead and jump back into the episode. So Nexus, tell us a little bit about yourself and your background.
Yeah, where would you like me to start? I mean, there's so many things. I'm from Jersey, like I told you. Uh-huh. I went to Temple University in Philadelphia, not too far from DC. I feel like that's where I made a lot of my DC friends at college, because a lot of people from DC went to Temple too.
I wanted to go to Temple. That's why I'm over here like, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I loved it. It was such a great experience. I think going to Temple kind of gave me a real glimpse at what it could look like to be an entrepreneur. I don't think I knew it at the time, but when I look back, I'm like, wow, I was surrounded by so many people who were just creating their own brands, like a t-shirt line or, you know, fresh juices, like kids were selling grilled cheeses, you know, in the dorm. Like everyone kind of had an entrepreneurial spirit about them. And I think I kind of kept that energy with me post-graduation. Yeah. And before I started my business, or actually kind of at the same time, ironically, I used to work in advertising on the creative side of advertising, was a copywriter for a long time, and then worked on commercials and, you know, TV, all the things you can think of. But I was like slowly building 25th and June kind of at the same time I entered this like very creative advertising career. So it's been a very interesting journey. Yeah. And then 2013 is when I actually started 25th in June. So this year we just celebrated 10 years, yeah. Which is crazy to say, because that is a very long time. Yeah. I don't even remember 10 years ago, Nexus. So right. To like, you know, see what has grown over that time has been really fun and beautiful and like empowering in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
I don't know. What else?
Were you working for any beauty brands in particular doing the advertising and copywriting?
No. I'm trying to think if I've ever worked on Clean and Clear for like a year. So not a beauty brand, but it was in, you know, like the beauty space. But no, never directly. But it was really cool because everything that, or so many things that I needed to learn for my business, I had to do at work. So it's always kind of poured into each other. Like I've never really felt like I had to split like my 9 to 5 with I guess my 5 to 9, however you want to look at it, you know, like it's all, they've always kind of poured into each other, which has been nice.
Gotcha. Well, congratulations on 10 years. I'm right there with you. Like I began being a makeup artist like 2012. I finished school, but I always marked like 2013 kind of as like my start. And yeah. I was just telling somebody else the other day, I was on somebody else's podcast and they asked me about my 10 years, my 10 year journey. And I was like, kind of similar to what you said, like that person, you don't even know who that person is. Like, I don't even recognize myself anymore. Like, I think more than anything, I have grown so much as a person, like throughout the 10 years. Like, how has your entrepreneurship journey like been treating you?
Yeah, it's been very interesting. A lot of flows. I'm sure you can relate to that. Mm-hmm. Actually, the 10-year collection that I just put out in June, like I named every polish to kind of reflect that journey over the 10 years. Like I was trying to think, how can I sum up? Like that's a long time. There's so many things, even within each year, that's so transformative. So I tried to pull out like 5 key themes. Excuse me, like for example, like Bicoastal Babe, like that's the blue that is like speaking to the fact that, you know, I kind of moved my whole life across the country, but I've been able to keep really beautiful connections on both sides and like really almost, you know, make that bicoastal life work in a lot of ways. So that's been great. But it's been interesting. Like there have been years where I just couldn't pour into 25th and June just for a ton of reasons. Like running a business by yourself is very hard. Resources, energy, you get burnt out. Like I'm very creative, but when I feel overwhelmed, like that part of me can shut down. So I don't do anything. You know what I mean? Like there's so many ups and downs that happen throughout that time. Mm-hmm. But I would say probably around 2017, I think. Yeah, like 2017, 2018, I really told myself like, okay, no matter how long it takes, like you can build this into what you want it to be. So I've kind of focused every year since then on just at least doing 1 to 2 big things. So whether it's fashion week or some type of like press coverage or, you know, anything that just keeps 25th and June like a pulse in the brand, I've been really focused on. Because again, like I mentioned, I've worked full time this entire time. So, you know, which I don't know if that's I'm not gonna say good or bad, but I've seen other entrepreneurs who just make the leap and they go in full time and their experience is very different versus when you have the stability of a job. Like, I don't know if I'm interested and I'm working my way to see like, am I ready to do this full time? Like, what would that look like? How do I set myself up to do that? So that's kind of where my mind is now, 10 years later.
Yeah, I can imagine. Cause sometimes I'm at the point where I'm like, I need something. Cause it is very hard to focus on like growing the business when you're thinking about bills. Like, I don't want to come from a place of like, I'm only doing this because I need this type of money to like make my life. Like, I want to be able to like pour into people and do things like authentically without it having to be about the money. So every now and then I struggle with like, should I get me a little job or, you know?
I do not believe in that, like hustle till you die, all that. Like, I don't believe in any of that. If you can get the comfort of income, that frees up so much space for you to pour into your business. Like it's too hard as it is. Like why that, if I think you asked in the beginning, like what advice I would give, it would be that, like, don't run with this idea that you're not a real entrepreneur if you don't do it full time, or you gotta, you know, throw everything to the side. Like, no, you can find ways to balance that and support yourself. Like you need that. Yes. And we live where we live. Like things are expensive. Things cost what they cost. Like don't make it 10 times harder for yourself when the journey is already going to be hard. Like you didn't ask, but that's my advice. Cause I feel like that's been in our heads a lot. Like we hear those messages.
And it's just the picture that's being painted on social media as well. Like a lot of people probably that you do see running their brands.
Yeah.
They probably do something else.
Because even if you just break it down, like take the emotional side out of it. If you just look at stats, like look at the data, you don't make money right away. Most businesses are in, you know, the negative for many years before they become lucrative. And like, again, I've been doing this 10 years. You've been doing this 10 years. You could probably speak to that. Like, don't get caught up on the illusion of business. Like you actually have to run a business, and that requires money, and that requires discipline and funding and all these other things. So I'll stop. I could rant about that.
You know, we just have so many things in our minds that are just aren't true. And I think that's what discourages people from taking that risk, because they think it has to look a certain way and it just doesn't.
It absolutely doesn't. And then now, because you mentioned like the burnout and everything, like now that you're a little bit more into it, like, do you recognize those signs of burnout and like overwhelm before, like as they're building up, so you can kind of like manage it?
Yeah, I'm actually, I took a break from work for that exact reason. Like right now I'm just, I have like 6 weeks off to just clear my mind, but I've been working a long time. Like I've earned, maybe I shouldn't say that. I think everyone deserves the right to take a break. But what I tell myself is I put in the work to take this time off because I was noticing burnout was feeling a little bit different. Like in the past, like I mentioned, I worked in advertising. It's a very high, fast paced, like high energy industry. You're expected to work long hours and still like produce creativity no matter what. Like that was obvious burnout. Like if you work on a pitch for 18 hours, of course you're going to be tired. Whereas now I work in tech also while running my business, and it's like it creeps up on you. It's a little bit different. So I wasn't noticing it. And then we had a pandemic, like all of these things where you can kind of miss your own signs. And so I would say around May, I was like, I can't focus. Like I can't get my thoughts organized the way that I know I can. And I was like, this is burnout. Like I need a break, you know? So I like slowly crept into the idea of like taking a break and like really settling myself. And then I started that this month, and it's still hard because, you know, there's all these things you still need to do, but it's nice to like just kind of be able to take a step back.
And it's nice to have that option because you have a job.
So
you
just exactly have a job, see,
that's where I struggle, is because I know that I need to take a break. I know that I'm probably on the brink of burnout, especially how you just described it. I'm like, I'm probably burning out like right now, but I don't have another source of income to like fall back on. So it's like, if I stop working, then
I know
I pay my bills. So
it's a trap. It's really a trap.
So I would love to know about your inspiration for 25th and June, because the reason I'm so excited to talk to you too is because it's a nail polish brand. I see a lot of people doing makeup, skincare, you know, all the other hair cares, you know, in beauty, but like inspiration and then like why nail polish?
Yeah. I've never been like a big makeup girly. I'm actually really sad. I had my braids in yesterday and I washed my hair, and my hair is big and curly. And I was like, I want to wear my hair curly for the podcast, but it didn't work out. So you have this bun. Okay. Like, but I say that to say, I've never been big into makeup, or like, you know, I can't do too much with my hair. I do pretty well, but nails have always been kind of my beauty thing.
Okay.
I don't know why. I think it's always been like very therapeutic and dainty and like, you know, creative. You can like paint random things. I was like 7 trying to paint smiley faces and flower, you know, like I've just always liked the expression of nails, or how you can express with nails. And then I think around 2012, it must've been 2012. I was getting my master's degree, and that, talk about burnout, that was a whole situation. And I remember I would take a break from writing my like final, like my thesis, and nail polish was my go-to for that. And I don't even know what the inspiration was at that time. I can never remember what actually sparked it for me, but I knew I had every single color nail polish you could ever think of. My friends would literally, they wouldn't even come to speak to me. They're like, I got to do my nails. I have a date. Like I need this color, and paint their nails and then leave my apartment. And I got to the point where I had every color you could think of. And I was like, I'm going to try to make my own nail polish. Like that's what I'm going to do.
Okay.
And I went to the store. I tell people when they ask like this story a lot, went to the art store, bought all this different pigment, all these colors. I remember it was like this beautiful lavender color, put like a little bit of shimmer in it. I was all proud of myself, mixed it up and on the floor in my apartment and put it on my skin. And I was like, oh, my fingers are going to fall off. Like this is a chemical reaction. It's horrible. Like nobody needs to put this on their body. This was a terrible idea. It was a joke, but that's what started my journey into this. Like I was like, so how is nail polish made? Like what's the history of it? I went down this huge deep dive of like ancient cultures, how they use nail polish. It just became kind of like a, not an obsession, but a big focus for a while.
Like a curiosity.
That's what rolled into me literally starting my business, like finding an actual chemist, finding a distributor, figuring out what I want to name it, you know, like all those different things that happen in the beginning of starting a business. And yeah, that's kind of the starting point for that.
Yeah. I've never even thought about trying to make my own nail polish before.
Yeah.
That's super cool.
It was a joke. It was a total disastrous joke, but it sparked something in me that I followed.
Yeah. I love that story. Like, where does the name 25th in June come from?
Yeah. So my birthday is June 25th.
Okay.
But at the time I wanted it to be a playoff of a location, like a starting point. You know how every city has like a major intersection, like 42nd and Broadway, you know, all these different places and famous cities. Yeah. I don't know. It just kind of came to me like, this is a starting point for myself. I want it to be almost like a place you can go, like, you know, like your one-stop beauty shop stop kind of thing. Like that's kind of what my thinking was when I named it.
Did you like play around with any other names before you landed on 25th in June?
So many. And it's so funny. I still have the notebook of me like writing down all these different names. And I don't know. I circled it. It was almost like I was naming a child or something. I was like, this is the one. I don't know. It's like the names that I did have were pretty interesting. And I think I might use some of them maybe in the future if I do something else. Cause I was like, they each have a very like a personal meaning to them.
Nice, nice. Was it hard for you to find a chemist at that time? Like when you first started, was it always focused on being like vegan, cruelty?
Yes.
Okay.
It was. I didn't have the language for it at that time. Like we say this very casually now because it's become just a part of, you know, the language we use in the beauty space. But my mom is very sensitive to smells. Like when I would paint my nails, she'd be upstairs, I'm in the basement, and she's yelling like, I know you're not painting your nails themselves. And I'm like, how do you even smell that? Like, so I knew from her, like, you know, in my ear, I wanted it to be like as harmless as possible. I think that is what was in my mind. Like my cousin has really sensitive skin. Like I have not too sensitive, but I can break out depending on what something's in. So that kind of was in my mind. I wanted to make sure it wasn't like these harsh chemicals that fill up the room with smells or would irritate your skin. So that was from the very beginning, that's always been the focus. And then I was lucky enough to actually find a chemist and a distributor all in one who that was their focus too. Toxin free, vegan friendly, no animal testing, no animal byproducts. So it worked out. Yeah. But yes, it was hard to find in the beginning. Now you could Google it and like 50 things pop up. But back then I was on like the 12th tab on Google. Wow. Like no one ever goes that deep. You know, like when's the last time you hit the second page on Google?
Never.
You don't.
Barely. Yeah.
Exactly. So it wasn't as easy as it is now.
Yeah, because I saw on your website that you mentioned that you're like 10 free. You're free of those 10 commonly found harmful ingredients
in
nail polish. And
it's actually more than 10. Consider. Wow. Oh, say it again. Sorry.
I don't think that's something that we really consider. Like when we're painting our nails, like we're not thinking about like what the ingredients are, if they're harmful, unless you are sensitive, you know, and have reactions to it.
Mm-hmm. But a lot of beauty products do, like things we put on our face, our hair. Like I really like the shift that's happened. And I would say maybe the past 5 years where that's been the focus. Yeah. Because like we don't think about it, but people, you know, when you wake up and you feel like your face is dehydrated and you're like, I've been drinking water, what is that? It's usually what you're putting on versus what you're putting in, you know? So it's nice to know that there are brands that focus on that first, so you can just think about it less. Like that's kind of how I think about it. Like I spend my money where I know I can trust what's in this, so I don't have to second guess it.
And me and my best friend, we always talk about, well, sometimes we get to talking about like just like the statistics of some commonly known like health challenges that women in particular have, and we're like, it has to be something that we've been using for a long time that we're not even thinking about, or something that we're putting on our skin. It has to be like the beauty products. For sure.
I think about that probably too much. So you're absolutely right.
Yeah, like in your research, like when you went kind of like down the rabbit hole of just like, you know, finding out about these ingredients and everything. Like, what is the purpose of like the ones that you mentioned were on your website? Yeah. You said it's more than 10 that are harmful. Yeah. Like, what is the purpose of them in the nail polish? Like, do they have some kind of functionality or something?
They do. The one that always sticks out to me the most, even 10 years later, is formaldehyde and formaldehyde resin. Like, they literally embalm bodies.
Right.
That kind of stuff, you know? But the purpose of it is, like, longevity of the product. So either maintaining its life cycle, you know, like, if you look on most beauty products, they have a little tiny little jar with a number on it. That's how long,
This one has it, right?
12, 24,
24,
So technically that after 24 or 2 years, it's not that it goes bad, but it's not, whatever's in it isn't as active. You could probably still use it, but they suggest that that's like the longevity of the product. Mm-hmm. So they have all these different chemicals. And let me make it very clear, I'm not a chemist.
Yeah,
I don't have a degree in this, but I know, you know what I know, but I do leave it to the experts. Like, it'll last longer on your nail, or like whenever, I forget which ingredient it is, helps like it dry really hard. Like, there's certain things that in the past they would use to keep it on your skin, like makeup. Like, they would put like all these different particles to make like makeup stay on your face. Mm-hmm. But over time, it's like you don't actually need these highly toxic and highly harmful ingredients to do these very simple things. So the chemists, they've been figuring it out, thank God, because some of these things with like long-term use can cause cancer, skin irritation, like all the, you know, permanent marks on your skin. Like, it's, you know, it's small amounts in these products. Like, it's not like you use it one time and something, you know, but it's the prolonged exposure that you really want to be mindful of.
Yeah, because I can imagine, like, what kind of challenges or limitations did you have to overcome with like developing your brand due to the fact that you're not including those ingredients?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think the biggest example would be waiting so long to put out the gel collection. Because gel, we've seen it has a huge boom over the past few years, but gel, they weren't on the like toxin-free wave in the beginning. It was like, this is cute. You can do all these designs. It'll last for a month, like put it on. You know, nobody was really, at least from my perspective and what I know or knew at the time, like the clean aspect, and I say clean in quotes because that can mean a lot of different things, wasn't at the center of gel. But that's changed. So that's kind of what took me 10 years to put gel out, but I'm really happy that I did. And that's all same thing, toxin free, vegan friendly, salon quality. I love it. I'm so excited about the gel.
Yeah, that is super exciting. So like with your chemists, I'm imagining that they probably just found another way to overcome those ingredients. Like, they found like an alternative to make it last longer and like do
everything. I don't even know if it's an alternative more than like, just, I mean, we evolve, like science evolves, beauty evolves, everything moves along. Like, the more you know, the more people complain, the more like reactions you have. It's like, oh, we have to pivot. Like, you know, I think the same way, like in medicine, you find different ways. Like, yes, it's beauty, but it still is like chemistry at the end of the day.
Yeah. And I looked on your site. Oh my God, you have like so many like cool colors and everything like that. Like, where do you get your inspiration from to like come up with these colors and the names and everything?
Yeah, honestly, whatever I'm going through on a given day. Like,
it is so cute outside. It was a few of them.
Yeah.
I forgot the ones. It was like a goldish one that was really pretty.
Oh yeah.
You got some cool ones.
Yeah, I really use the inspiration around me, like things I'm going through in my life, like places I've traveled to, things my friends say to me or about me or vice versa. Like, I really like to keep it very personal but also relatable. Like, I think I mentioned before, like, I'm a writer, like that I got my master's degree in that. And I've always written a story in some way with like either the collection or a particular polish will have its own story. And I've gotten so much feedback that when people read it, I get shocked. I'm like, people read it? Like, you actually read, you know, cause I'm doing it for me, but people really read it. And they tell me like, I think about it when I put it on, or like it inspires me to like channel that energy, you know? So I always wanted to feel very personal, but also like you can connect to it and make it your own story, just beyond like a bottle of nail polish. Like, it has more meaning than that.
I absolutely love that. Did you did you toss out like all of your old nail polishes when you developed your brand? Like all the nail polishes you were using that had those ingredients and stuff?
Yeah, but it was hard. I still have some at my mom's house. Like at my parents' house, there's a drawer. I'm praying that she doesn't tell me to clean it out next time I go visit. Like I still have that because it reminds me of like where I started, you know? Mm-hmm. Like I didn't want to get rid of everything, but I'm telling you, I had... Every time I got my little tiny paycheck from my very first job, I would buy like $100 worth of nail polish, like all the OPIs, all the SEs. Yeah. So I kept a good chunk of them, but some I was like, I gotta let these go.
Yeah, yeah. Did you try to like recreate some of the colors that you liked?
I didn't. I actually never really look at trends in that way, mm-hmm. which I don't know if it's good or bad, but I have gotten feedback that it's people notice that they can get a bright, like a neon color from me in the winter. Like, mm-hmm. I don't really stick to the trends. Like, I feel like make it whatever you want. Like, you don't have to wear dark colors in the winter mm-hmm. or pastels in the spring. Like, I didn't try to recreate any because I feel like I kind of stopped paying attention, honestly, like when I started my own.
Yeah, and that's how I feel with makeup too, because people, I think I saw a post one day, because you know Threads is out now, so uh-huh. I saw a post on Threads, it was asking what color lipsticks do you like to wear in the summer, and I tell people, I wear any color I want year round, if it's a dark color, I'm gonna wear it in the summer, I'm gonna wear it in the winter. I don't even care about that.
Yeah, same mm-hmm. here. I think that's fun, and it's a part of like self-expression.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of trends, have you noted, other than people being very like ingredient conscious and stuff like that now, are there any other trends or changes that you've seen as far as like what consumers are looking for when it comes to nail polish or anything like that?
What they're looking for, I feel like people really want quality. I think the ingredients is at the forefront of a lot of people's minds. I think the pandemic shifted the way people do nails. So many people are like DIY girlies now, which I love, you know? Yeah. Cause it was easy. I don't even know if it was easy. You just kind of thought you had to go to the salon to get your nails done. So I think people do pay more attention to nail polish brands and colors and consistency because they're doing it themselves now, instead of just like showing up and picking a color and then hoping it goes well. So I don't know. I'm trying to think of any other trends. I think people just want to know. I think people are more willing to spend on beauty products mm-hmm. and they just want to know it's good quality. So like presentation is beautiful. The packaging is cute. Like it feels like you're getting gifted every time you buy something. So I think that's also at the front of my mind when I'm like putting a collection together, sending out a package.
Mm-hmm. I think it was like September last year is when I watched a little Gelex tutorial on YouTube, went straight to Amazon, ordered all the stuff and did my nails in that way. Cause I always polished my nails ever since my mom let me wear press-ons when I was like 11. So I've always been like, you know, doing the nail thing, but that was the first time I did like gel uh-huh. X in it. I killed it. I was like,
I love that.
And it's so therapeutic. Like you said, like time that I just like need to like woosah. Mm-hmm. I just have to, you know, just take my time, do my little gel nails, do my designs and everything. It's so much fun.
Yeah. It's almost like you have to pay attention. So your mind can't wander as much because if you like look away, you know, you're going to paint your finger. So I think that's why it's like a nice, like calming thing to do. But also shout out to nail artists. Like I'm never gonna not go to a really talented nail artist because there's some things where I just cannot do and I don't want to learn and I don't want to try and like, you know, like really cute designs, like I'm always gonna go to the nail salon for that or a nail artist for that.
Yeah. With developing the brand, what was like the most challenging thing for you to like do on your own, because you already have the background, like the advertising, the copy and everything like that. Was there any other aspect of the brand that was just like a little bit more challenging? It didn't come as easily for you?
I mean, it's all challenging because like I'm wearing all the hats, but I feel like honestly, like the logistics part. And I think that's usually the case for most entrepreneurs who are more like creative minded, like just, you know, all the tiny details that needs to happen, which my mind, I'm pretty detail oriented, like inventory. I know how much is in stock. I know how much it costs.
But like, honestly, I think I get the most overwhelmed with like shipping, like okay. actually when it's time to like put everything together. Cause then it's like, oh, this is a lot. Like I have to do all of this. So mm-hmm. I think that is, has always been, and honestly, social media, like I'm not a natural like poster. Okay. Like I naturally want to put everything. I love it. I love watching everybody else's business. I'm always scrolling, but me, like I'll post like twice a month, maybe mm-hmm. like on my actual timeline, if that. So social media has definitely been a struggle for me, like in the business sense. Like I'll forget to put something up, or like, you know, it's just that even now, like it just, it still doesn't come natural yeah. to me.
Are you doing like the social media for 25th of June too?
I have been, but I have people helping me now, but even okay. that, it's like, they need me to send them assets. And I'm like, okay, I'll send it. It's just, you know, I don't know. It hasn't clicked. Like that is just not a natural thing for me.
Yeah. Content creation is a whole nother.
Oh, and shout out to those people. Thank you for what you do, because it's not me.
Yeah. That's a whole nother beast. That is just like, I mean, I think I do pretty well with my social media. People always yeah. tell me that I do, but mm-hmm. sometimes I just don't feel like it. Like
that's really what it is. Yeah. And the time it takes, because there's so many other things that go into running a business, but it really is one of, if not the most important part, like aside from branding and actually having a good product, you want people to see it, and you want yeah. them to see it in the best way. So you have to invest in that. So that's what I tell myself.
Yeah. Like what does production look like now? Do you have, are you like packaging the stuff yourself? Do you have a warehouse? Like, what does it look like?
No, I still do all the packaging myself. Like I'll hire people if it's like overwhelming to like mm-hmm. help me. But I still do all, like most of the things by myself. Like it's a yeah. very small, I mean, I'm still tiny in a lot of ways. So and I like that. I like to know what's going out. I like to, like, if I know the person or I recognize their name, maybe from social media, I like writing like personal notes and things like that. But that used to slow me down. So I used to write a handwritten like note to every single customer yeah. and it would take me hours, like a full day to send out packages sometimes. And I was like, you can't do like, yes, it's a nice touch, but like you, it's not sustainable. Yeah. But I still try to, like, when if I have the time, I'll still do that.
Yeah. As your brand continues to grow, I mean, I know we have to like relinquish control over, you know, certain things. Like, what's one thing that, or what's one aspect of the business that you're like, I will never like give up control over this? Like, I still have to have my hand on this.
I know. I mean, that has been a big talking point.
I struggle with that. If you can't do it as good as me or better, yeah. then I just yeah. like, I should just do it myself. Like
yeah I think a lot of people feel that way, but it slows us down too. Like I've had to finally come to terms with that, like, okay girl, people are gonna stop wanting to help you, like relax and let go. So yeah. I truly have been working on that. I think one thing I won't ever let go of, I don't know, that honestly changes depending on what my mood is on the day. Some days I'm like, everybody can do whatever they want, you know, take all of it. And then some days I'm like, I think that maybe the creative aspect of it, like I think I want to always be involved with like the story that we're telling and like the integrity of why nail polish, or like why the collection, why a particular name. Like I don't ever want it to get like we're just being too trendy, you know, we're just naming things because it's like in pop culture at the moment, or like we're chasing other type of brands, you know. I think I'll always want to kind of have, not my point of view has to be the point of view, but I think the same way when I worked in advertising, like kind of overseeing like the creative like direction of whatever we're doing.
Yeah.
So I think I won't easily let go of that.
Yeah, I can see that, because you want to be able to control the message, you know, and it's hard for other people to sometimes, I mean, you could probably do it as a copywriter and they could, but like just to take on somebody else's voice and be able to deliver the message, you know, that's a skill. Like if you could do that, then
yeah,
kudos to you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you have any like dream collaborations that you will want to see in the future with 25th and June? Like some, like a brand partnership with another company, or maybe like an influencer that you'll want to represent the brand?
Yeah. I mean, so many. I don't know why. This is very random. Maybe because I live in Seattle, like the Pacific Northwest. You know how New Balance is making a comeback in so many ways? I would love to do a collaboration with New Balance. Nice. And I'm a Nike girl. I still am, but I have bought so many New Balances lately and they're so cute. Uh-huh. I would love to do some type of something with them. So let's speak that into existence.
Yes, I love it.
What influences? I'm trying to think of like my dream celebrities. I love Kehlani. I would love for her to wear my stuff. Zendaya.
I just saw Kehlani the other day. She was here in DC and I was I've never seen her in person. So that was like my first time. I was like, whoa, like she's so beautiful.
Stunning. She's absolutely gorgeous. It's like,
wild. I was in awe. Yeah. I was like, okay, yeah. I knew she was pretty, but like,
she really looks like that. She's Kehlani. So beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, of course, Beyonce. Mm-hmm. Like I would love, like I wish every, like all her dancers had 25th and June on, you know, like that would be fun to do, be like the official nail, like polish of like a tour of one of her artists. I love that a lot of men are getting into nail design now. Like I think Drake, they just posted him getting like little designs. I don't know if I have like a dream person, more so I want 25th and June to be a household name. So like the go-to for like nail artists. So when they work with these different like celebrities or clients, like they're using my product, which has happened, you know, we just kind of build it a little more. I want to be in Sephora and Nordstrom.
Okay. Look, I was just asking you if you were in retail. Okay.
Yeah, not yet, but that's definitely a goal. So we're going to speak that too. Seattle's a great place for that. Like Nordstrom was founded in Seattle. So like their headquarters is here. So I work in there sometimes. Like there's a really nice one with a cafe downtown. Uh-huh. And I'll just go in and like look around and like try to manifest my products in there. Yeah. I don't know if it's working, but it feels good. It feels like
real, because I feel like it's just a matter of, you know, somebody from Nordstrom that's like a buyer one day just coming and happen to sit down while you're there. Yeah. Spark up a conversation and then you're like, I have a nail polish brand. Like, how can I do this? How can I get in here? It's like the networking for me.
Yeah.
It's gonna happen. Like you're gonna least expect it too.
Yeah. I'm open. I'm ready.
Yeah. So we did talk about a little bit the toxin-free gel polishes that you came out with. And you said that was a journey. Mm-hmm. A journey of even getting that out into the market. Was it the biggest challenge was just like the ingredients? They hadn't figured it out yet as far as how to make it toxin free to get it out.
Yeah. And then I kind of put a pause on even like researching it. So I could have maybe done this like 2 years ago, but I think now was the time. Like I was ready for it. And also, I don't know if we touched on this at all, but I did a crowdfunding campaign last year. Where I raised $25,300. It was great. And I did like a community-based crowdfunding where I asked like my friends, family, like former customers to like get involved. They were interested in contributing to the campaign. And so when I did that, I knew in my mind, like, okay, whatever funding I get for this, I'll use that to expand my product line. So it just felt like the right time. And then also later this summer, I'm going to be releasing a body oil, 3 scented body oils. I feel like I can show you. I haven't.
Yeah, show us.
Well, when does this come out? I might be sneak peeking.
Let's see. This probably won't come out until like September, October.
Okay, perfect. So that'll be around the same time. Okay, let me show you. I'm so excited about these. I think they're so beautiful. They smell so good. They're like body oils.
Yeah.
And they each have their like own scent and they leave like this really pretty shimmer. Like it's not too much, like, but you notice it and it stays, you're like very moisturized. It smells so good. I love them. I'm really excited about this. So that's probably going to launch these like early September-ish.
Okay. So what was the inspiration for wanting to expand into like the body now?
Yeah. I feel like that makes a lot of sense for like your nails. You don't just paint your nails and walk out the door. Like you're going to moisturize them. You need cuticle oil, but also, I don't know. I've kind of
maybe 5 years ago had the idea that I don't think I really ever want to go into makeup, but I do want to be like your body essentials. So you have nail stuff, you have gel, but you know, hand creams and body oils, like I think that space feels really good for me and for the brand. So that, I think that's the direction that I'm headed in now.
I love that. Any feedback? Do you take any feedback from like your customers? Like, are they asking for certain things?
Yeah, gel. Like okay. If I were to show you I took all the screenshots of every time someone asked me for gel. I've gotten cuticle oil requests, but not body specific. But I think people just aren't looking at 25th and June in that way yet. But I think once we drop this and then some other things that I have coming later, like probably early next year, that those requests might change.
Yeah. So when you're coming out with a new product like that, like what is the process for thinking about like the marketing behind it and how you're going to like promote it?
Yeah. I mean, I love storytelling. Like we talked about that. Like I just did a shoot for the body oil last week, I think last Thursday or something. So each body oil has a different name. And so I did a shoot for like to represent what that name is. So everything has a different look, different feel. It's really fun. Like it's very cinematic in a lot of ways. Like I was in the shoot and I struggle being like on camera in that way, but I was like, I'm going to do it. And we were outside by the lake. Like it was very like dreamy. It was super pretty, but each one has a different theme. So I don't know. I just want to tell a story with it. Cause it's like boring where you're just like, here's oil, you know, like you want to feel something, you want to imagine yourself getting ready or, you know, where you're going to go when you put it on, how you want to feel, how you want to smell. So like, I like to bring like senses to life in a lot of ways or where I can. So that's the fun part too, when like marketing and putting collections out.
I love that. Like, how long have you had that? Like, how long have you had that bottle or like, how long did it take for you to make it?
This took like 8 months testing and like smelling different smells and putting different scents together, like the consistency, how much shimmer, how little, you know, like it took, I don't know if 8 months is long or short, but it took some time. It wasn't quick. And then you have to wait for production and then packaging, like I want that to look a certain way. So it's pretty
at the end of the day, it's gonna be like a whole year since
then you
come out with it.
Yep. And that's what people don't see, like when they ask for things, I'm like, this takes time. Like I can't just whip it up. Like I'm not, it's maybe other brands can, but even post COVID, so many things have slowed down with like production and just like materials for things. So it takes time.
And especially since you're going like the route of just making it, because it's not private label, like you're actually like going into the lab and like manufacturing it from scratch.
Well, not myself, but yeah
like the chemist and stuff.
Yeah, and it's all clean, like toxin free, all the same beauty standards, like natural ingredients or a lot of natural ingredients, essential oils, all of that.
That's really cool. I'm excited for you. Yes. I want to go back to the crowdfunding thing because I think that's one thing I don't really hear a lot of people talking about. And that's always one of my biggest challenges. Anytime I think about creating some kind of brand or something like that, I'm always like, okay, so where does money about to come from? I never really think about crowdfunding. So were you using like a particular platform to do that? Or were you just hitting up your family and friends like, hey, give me some money?
No, I did it. It was a very formal process, but it was so interesting. It was so many years in the making. So I worked with an organization called iFund Women. I love them. I will shout them out, like no sponsorship. Like I will sing their praises to the rooftop. And I met, I forget what her role was at the time, but I met someone who worked for iFund Women at a conference. Remember Girl Boss? I don't think they're around anymore, like formally, but it was a Girl Boss conference in LA in 2018, I think. And we met there and we stayed in connection. And I don't even remember, I don't know what made me want to do it. Like I go, they have like webinars and seminars and they always send emails and like incredible resources. And I had always been a little weary about like taking on, asking people for money or taking on debt and things like that. But I just started going to their sessions where they broke down what it actually was and what you need to do. And it probably from 2018 till what was last year, 2022. Yeah. So how many years is that? I don't know. It took me that long to actually do it. But it's a very their way their system works is so incredibly, they're just a well-oiled machine. Like you have to, I did about 3 to 4 months of preparation, true preparation, before I asked anybody for anything. Okay. Because you want to like get your network together. You want one, you need to figure out what your goal is and why, and what's the story behind it. You got to think about how you're going to allocate this money. You got to think about how much money is actually realistic for you to raise given your network. Like there's so much that you have to think about that it may look like I just popped up asking people for things, but it was literally 3 to 4 months of me. I knew everybody I was going to ask. I knew what I was going to say. I knew how I was going to distribute the money if I reached my goal. So I highly recommend anybody who is interested in doing it to research it. Mm-hmm. I think it makes the most sense for me because 25th and June has always been so community or collaborative. Like to this day, I still ask my friends to help me think of names or what do you think about this name? Or like, I'll send my mom something and you know, like it's never not going to be that. So I wanted to give the opportunity for people who have supported me literally for 10 years to do so, whether it's like actually contributing funds, sending the link, telling a friend, you know what I mean? Like I it felt like the right route to go versus asking, like pitching to a boardroom or, you know, investors in that way, which I know I'll have to do at some point, but I wanted this to feel like we are doing this together because we are and have been for so long.
I feel like people feel more like entitled to, you know, buy or support the brand when they know that they have a part in like helping to build it or creating the name for it and stuff like that.
Yeah. And it was rewards based. So what that means is you could either just give funds with, you know, just good luck, you know, I want to support, or you can contribute funds to a particular reward. So for example, I put together like cute stuff, like simple things like a playlist curated specifically, you know, for 25th and June vibes. Like some of my friends are DJs, so they put like cute playlists together. Or you could get like a bundle where like a t-shirt and nail polish, like things like that. Or that one where you could get a manicure from a celebrity nail artist that I'm really cool with. Like really cool things, fashion week passes. Like someone bought that, I was really surprised because that was like pretty high price point. But yeah, like you can come with me to fashion week like next time I do an event. So it's cool, it was fun. Yeah, I wanted it to be like things people actually wanted to do or cared about, because now you feel like even more connected to what you're contributing to.
Wow, I love that. So all of this was through iFund Women?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they have the crowdfunding platform.
Yeah, so you do it through their site. Like they said, it's all set up for you, but you, I'm telling you, it will not work if you don't do the work.
Yeah.
Like it sounds simple because it is simple, but you have to
do your part.
You have to do your part. So I think that's what slows a lot of people down, because it is so meticulous and time consuming. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you, it made things so much easier. Honestly, I've kept a lot of what I had to do for that, like in how I operate now. Like it's, I don't know, I sing their praises and they're so supportive and they're all dedicated, like their entire mission and purpose is for supporting women in business. Mm-hmm. And that is so rare even to this day. So it's great. I thank them. And yeah, and we reached our goal. We exceeded our goal. So
yes, thank you for sharing that, because I have seen their stuff before, but I never really dove, you know, really deep into exactly what they do. Mm-hmm. But I'm definitely going to check it out now.
Yeah, check it out. And even if you don't crowdfund right away, just go to their seminars. Like they are dedicated to helping women learn what we need to learn to run a business. So you'll get something out of it no matter what.
I love that. Do you have any additional tips for building community? Because that's what Friends and Beauty, like I just got this shirt.
Oh, that's cute.
Y'all stay tuned. Got
merch. I love that. Tuned.
But like, that's what Friends and Beauty was built off of, is community. I used to host, well, not used, I still host. I actually have an event tomorrow, but I host networking events and stuff like that. And just have been working since 2019 to like really build the community aspect of it and really getting people, like, I feel like it's like slow trickles of people who like continuously show up, support, repost, you know, things like that. But like, and I know the people listening to this, they probably like, girl, you got community, but I feel like it could be, I envision it to be so much bigger. Mm-hmm. So like, do you have any other tips for community? Like just getting people involved, I guess, like you said, in the process of what I'm doing.
I feel like, I don't know if I have general advice. I think it really depends on what you're growing and what you want community for. Mm-hmm. Like, I think when I think about community for 25th and June, I really want people to feel like they, like this is their brand, you know, mm-hmm. like they're proud to wear it. Like they want to tell people because they like the story or they like the name, they like the color, they like the images, you know, like I like community in that way. I think I've also been really intentional about community with like nail artists, like the nail artist community, yeah. and kind of being like supportive of them, but also them supporting me at the same time. Like I've gotten a lot of opportunities because of the relationships I've built just like with New York City nail artists, which mm-hmm. has been great. So I don't know. I think honestly, the same way you, or at least maybe not everyone does, the same way I pick my friends or the same way I keep my friends or nurture my friendships. Like I want good energy around me. I want creative people around me, honest people around me. Like that's the type of community that I try to build for 25th in June. And I feel like it just comes natural in that way. Cause that's what I put out, you know, to the world. Like when I do an event or like I have a celebration or a party for 25th in June, it's like, it always feels like family and like friends are around because that's what I want to feel like. And that's how I don't ever want it to feel like unreachable or untouchable.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I feel like I'm on the right track because Friends and Beauty is definitely like very, because we do networking events, but when you come, it doesn't feel like you're networking. It feels like a party. Yeah. Like you're hanging out with your friends and you're just meeting really cool people. And then you're like, oh, I'm networking. This is what networking is. It's not all. Yeah. So I just got to continue doing what I'm doing pretty much.
I think so.
Yeah. So we didn't even mention that you work at Meta.
Like, oh, yeah. Like,
how cool is that? Like, taking over the world right now. Things. Even when I had to download Threads, I was like, dang, I thought that this was just built into Instagram. I didn't know it was a whole nother app. Like, what is happening?
It's in there now. You can tap. They added a little tab. Next time you go on Instagram, you'll be able to see it. You can, like, click from Instagram to go to Threads.
But it's, I still had to download a whole app. Like I thought it was going to be like integrated into.
Yeah. Well, maybe, you know, give some feedback. Never know.
We need that. But you mentioned it a little bit earlier about just how just working at certain companies and everything, you've been able to like integrate your experience into, mm-hmm. you know, what you do for your brand. Like how so?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I work at social, you know, at social media, like the social media platform. So it's been amazing. Like seeing how these things work and the time and intentionality behind different products and just like the inner workings of tech is fascinating to me, or social media tech, because tech could mean a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. I can't talk too much about work, but a part of my role is like working with small businesses in a lot of ways. And that has been one, just fulfilling, but also like so like empowering for myself, like seeing other successful, like tiny, you know, 1, 2, 3 people running a business and doing incredible numbers and building all this community using the platform in a particular way, or like advertising in a particular way. It's like I work there and I know what to do, but I'm seeing people up close doing it. So it inspires me. And like, I don't know, it's just really cool. Like social media, I know it's draining. We were just talking about it earlier about like, I don't feel like posting, but it really is a super weapon for sure. Or, you know, like that, like keys that you can unlock so much for small businesses. Mm-hmm. If you just really know how to use it and like when to use it, it could be just transformative for your business.
Yeah. Have you seen people like, what are people doing wrong?
Everything, all things. But I wouldn't even say people are doing wrong. Like it's complex. Like, you know, certain things aren't so intuitive. It's not that easy to use. You got to have all these different things set up on the back end and like your business manager, e-commerce, you know, it's like, it's not easy. Like that's why people hire, major companies hire people to do these things for them. So it's not necessarily you're doing it wrong, but I do think tech, just like most industries, need to catch up to making things more accessible for people, especially if we're talking about small businesses. Like not everyone has these huge budgets or are tech savvy or worked in advertising or work at, you know what I mean? Like the background isn't always there. So it's like making things as accessible as possible from the beginning
So you don't have to run into these roadblocks when you're really, you just want your business to grow. Yeah. So that's feedback for where I work. That's feedback for like industries of all kinds, just mm-hmm. making it accessible for everybody, because that just makes it better for everybody.
Yeah. Have you ever met Mark Zuckerberg before?
I have not. Not yet, at least.
So do you work from home?
Yeah, I do.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. I need a work from home job too.
Oh yeah. It's a life changer. I don't know if I could ever go back to a job where I have to be there every day.
Yeah.
I hope I don't.
So do you think does it feel like at least it's a little bit easier to manage your time between like work and business, like working from home?
I think so. I don't know. I mean, nothing ever really feels easy. Like, and I've just been doing this for so long. Like, I feel like the pandemic was a billion years ago. I don't really remember. Because again, I think I mentioned, like, when I first moved here, I only had like 6 or 8 months of going into the office every day, but I traveled a lot. Like, I had like 6 or 8 months of going into the office every day, but I traveled a lot. Like, I would go to the Bay often. So it was never like a regular, I guess, working life for me anyway. And then we started working from home. So I think I'm just so used to it that it's just, I don't even think about the difference anymore.
Yeah. Oh, man, this has been like such a great conversation. I don't even want to let you go. I know we've been talking. I don't even want to let you go. Okay. You have to do a part two, or we gotta go live or something so we can keep talking. But like, at the end of the day, like, what do you want your legacy to be as far as like 25th in June and what you're creating and, you know, just the vegan friendly and just changing the way that people think about beauty?
Legacy. I don't think about that word often. That's interesting. I think the simplest thing that comes to mind, I really want 25th in June to be a household name.
Yeah.
Like, I do. I want people to reference it like the same way they reference all these other big beauty brands. Like, I really want it to live in the like OPISE space, not be them, but like just as well known and just like the quality. Like, you know, when you get 25th in June, like, it's gonna be cute and it's gonna be toxin free, you know, like, you know these things, which is why you seek it out. Like, I think that, and then I don't know. I think I always want to keep creativity. I'm like looking down at the bottles right now, like trying to find my inspiration. Like,
show us some of them.
Even, huh?
I said, show us some of them. Hold on.
I'll show you some of the new ones. Okay.
Ooh, that's great.
One's Major Moxie. It's like, you can't tell. And that's the other thing that I like. I actually got this feedback recently. Like, one of my friends told me that the colors, it's almost like a surprise, not like you're getting something you didn't think you would get, but the colors are more vibrant when you get them than when you see on screen, which is why I leave a note on the, like, all the polishes, like, they may look slightly different on screen than when you get them, but she said that she feels like they're always more vibrant.
That's a good
one. Actually gets them. Yeah. So that's that one. A couple behind me. Oops. And then this one is Sweet Life, and these are the regular polishes. Uh-huh. So I'm wearing Sugar Baby, the gel.
Right? Oh yeah, I did see Sugar Baby. I was like, ooh,
yeah. Sugar Baby. I love Sugar Baby. I named that actually after one of my friends. It was like a running joke because I don't know what we were talking about, but she's like, I don't want to work anymore. I just want to be a sugar baby. And I was like, you would be a great one. And then the gel after it. That's the one that she wanted to wear. And yeah, this is by Coastal Babe. I love this blue. It's like, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like an electric, it looks periwinkle, but when it's on, it's like an electric blue, like electric in the sense, like it's not neon, but it could be, I don't know. I can't describe it, but I love it. I love this blue. I might wear this when I take the Sugar Baby off. So yeah, those are just some of them.
Yes, I love that. Anything else coming up next for you other than the body oils? And
that is the probably the biggest or newest drop. So that'll be later this summer.
Yes. Oh, I'm excited for you. This
Thank
is
you.
I feel like you're definitely going to attain that goal of being a household name, only because just like the landscape of everything is changing and people are looking for, you know, more, you know, better solutions as far as the longevity in their health, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Keep using, you know, certain things on our bodies, because over time it will, if you're into nails and stuff like that, it will add up over time if you're using these chemicals and stuff like that. So people want to live longer and healthier lives. So
yeah,
you're definitely gonna get there, girl.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Before you go, I have to ask you the friends in beauty rapid fire questions.
Okay, I'm ready.
So whatever comes to your mind first, spit it out. If you need to elaborate, that is totally fine as well.
Okay.
So the first one is, what are the top three keys to your success so far?
Top three key things to my success. It's such a cliche word, but I'm going to say authenticity. Like, mm-hmm. I think I stay very true to myself. Consistency, even if it's sporadic consistency, if that makes sense, like the ebbs and flows, like really ride in the ebbs and flows and not letting them get too high or too low. Mm-hmm. And I think passion and fun. Like I try to make sure that it feels good. Mm-hmm. What I'm doing, because that sustains me, that keeps me going.
I love that. How do you measure your success?
Honestly, I think kind of the last thing that I said, I think if I still feel good, or I'm feeling good about it, I'm excited, that mm-hmm. feels successful to me. Because if not, like, why do it?
Yeah.
Have an eyelash in your eye.
I got something going on.
Yeah.
I could feel it though.
I hate when that happens, because then you can't find it, but you just feel it.
I'm normally really good at picking that stuff out too. Anyway, I'll get it in a second. Okay. Next one. What's the best advice you've ever received, or a piece of advice that's just always stuck with you, that you just always is here?
Oh, wow. The best advice I've ever received. Honestly, in a weird way, it's kind of like, don't take advice. Not in the sense of like you don't listen or learn, but I had a conversation with one of my mom's friends, and he basically was telling me, like, you want to watch what people do. Mm-hmm. Like, you can say whatever you want to say, and there are gems in words, of course. Yeah. But like, watch what people do. And I think that's been really helpful for me in a business sense. Like, I love hearing, I listen to podcasts of other entrepreneurs, like, what's their story, what did they do, and there's always a common theme. So you can give advice of like, oh, get a business plan, or get an invest, or whatever it is they tell you to do for business. But like, if I see people who have the type of success that I want or think I want, and they're doing particular things, I think I watch what people do more so than what they say.
Yeah. Okay. I love that. What advice would you give to another brand owner right now who is just ready to give up? They're not seeing the results that they want to see in their business, and they're just like, I'm just gonna work my job and call it a day.
Yeah, I feel like when that happens, maybe it's time to reevaluate like what results you actually want to see. Mm-hmm. Like, I think about working out, for example. Like, they tell you not to pay attention to the scale, right? Like, that's just a simple, like, there's so many other indicators that can show you that your body's getting stronger, you're lifting more, you can run longer. Like, there are other metrics mm-hmm. that you can look at. So maybe it's like really taking a step back and seeing like, okay, you might not be getting the revenue, but you have like 40 consistent customers, like whatever it is.
Yeah.
I think like expand your view on what success is, because I had to do that for myself so many times, where I'm like, oh, I'm not doing this, or I haven't done that. And it's like, I'm ignoring all of these other things that I have done. Yeah. So I think, I don't know, I think that's kind of advice for life maybe, but especially for business. Like, if something's not working, you need to repivot anyway.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and take a break. You can take a break. It's yours. That's the other thing. Yeah. Remember that it's yours. So especially like, if you do have the luxury of like having another job or like supplementing your income, like, remember that it is yours, and you can put it down for a little bit and then pick it back up. It still belongs to you.
I think it's that FOMO, like that fear of like, okay, if I put it down, then people won't forget about me.
No.
And, yeah. What is a resource that helps you in your business that you can share with the Friends in Beauty community? You already shared I Fund Women, which is like amazing. Is there anything else?
I love Canva. I'm a Canva groupie. I think they have
a phenomenal thing going, especially for solo entrepreneurs or like when you have limited resources. Mm-hmm. Do not sleep on Canva. If you have to take a YouTube course and learn how to use it, do that. Like, you can truly create so many assets there. Presentations, pitch decks, all the things, yeah. Instagram posts, like you can do a lot in Canva. Yeah. I think that's a great resource. And it's woman founded, which I think is what else? I don't know. Get people around you that you trust. Like, have people who really will tell you if something is whack or if they love it, you know, like, you need that, especially I think if you have like a product that you're selling, anything, if you're selling anything to other human beings, have people around you that you trust that will give you real feedback about what you're doing. Cause it's easy to get in your own little bubble and you're like not connecting anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. Okay. So the last one, I just want you to fill in the blank and just say, my name is blank. And the key to longevity and success is whatever you think it is, Nexus.
Okay. I don't want to say, I feel like it's going to be cheesy and cliche.
It is what it is, though.
It is what it is. Okay, my name is Nexus. And the key to success and longevity for me, I think is passion.
Okay.
You know, just like passion for life. Like, you want to put something into the world, and that's what keeps you going.
Yeah. Find what you're passionate about. Because I feel like a lot of people, they might think that they're passionate about something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even why they're not moving the needle, because they're not really passionate about it. They're just doing it because it's trendy or somebody told them to do it. But if you really find what you're actually passionate about, it's a lot harder to quit.
Yeah. But I think also passion can look different. I think I've had to redefine passion because honestly, I have a passion for just like vibing sometimes. Like, have you ever been out and you're not doing much and you're like, wow,
this is the life.
Yes. Like, to me, that's passion. Like, I am living right now. Like, it doesn't have to be like you're running a marathon or, you know, you're putting out 100 packages a day. Like, it could just be like, you feel good living and you feel good creating, you feel good being the people you love. Like, that's passion to me. So I think that's the key to just keeping this thing going.
Yes, I absolutely love it. Before you go, please share like your social media, website, whatever you want people to do to connect with you and 25th in June.
Yes. So our website is 25thinjune.com, the number 25thandjune. Same thing for our Instagram handle, 25th in June. And then my personal one is Next on the Beach, NexOnThe Beach.
Yay. Well, this, like I said, Nexus, this has been an amazing conversation. I learned so much today because, like I said, I'm into nails, but I really didn't know a lot of the things that you shared. So thank you so much for coming and sharing so openly with us. I really appreciate it.
Yes, this is so fun. Thank you.
Hey, you're welcome.
Thanks for listening to the Friends in Beauty podcast. Don't forget, sharing is caring. If you enjoyed this episode, share it with another friend in beauty. Give it a thumbs up and subscribe, rate, and leave a 5-star review so that other friends in beauty can find the show. Plus, we'd love to hear your feedback. Connect with us on all social media platforms at Friends in Beauty, hashtag Friends in Beauty to join the conversation, and join our Friends in Beauty Facebook community to stay connected. Talk to you soon.